A Manitoba ranch is using several production practices to lengthen the grazing season and reduce the number of days on winter feed. Nurbis Brothers Angus is located near Shellmouth, about 30 kilometers northwest of Russell, near the Manitoba-Saskatchewan border. Aaron and his brother Shane run the ranch on a full-time basis with their father Gene involved as well. There are 600 cow-calf pairs, all Angus, on 5,500 acres of pasture.
We do like a cow that's efficient in a forage grazing management system. So with that means a moderate frame size, a moderate mature weight. But with that kind of a capacity, a depth, an ability to maintain body condition scoring with minimal inputs. And so a cow that's just more maternally based and can do more with less and on her own without our intervention.
Do we sometimes underestimate the cow's ability to adapt to natural conditions?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think over the years, just the way production agriculture has gone, we've catered to the cow way, way too much. You know, cow can do so much if we just, but the key is you have to let them do it. As far as calving, grazing, all of it, they can do it on their own, but we just have to step back a little bit and let them do it. Because they're actually quite amazing creatures. They can get a lot done on their own. They're grazing ruminants, and that's their job.
Rotational grazing is very important for Nurbis Brothers Angus with the goal of producing more forage per acre.
We graze over 100 paddocks now, and that's for 8 months of the year. And so they're on very small percentage of the land base at any given time. So the majority of the land is in a resting state most of the time. The cattle are only on there. They clip it off. They leave some residue behind. We never graze it right down. We're rotating probably 2 to 4 days, sometimes 5 days per move. Doing that, there's lots of different terms for grazing. You know, rotational grazing is one, twice over, holistic managed grazing, management intensive grazing. There's all kinds of different terms. But the one I think that fits ours best is AMP grazing, which is adapted multi-paddock grazing. So it's just being flexible and not being rigid in your plan. And when conditions dictate with rainfall, you know, frost, you know, early spring, whatever the conditions dictate, you got to stay flexible. And so that's part of AMP grazing, and it's really served us well since we started. And we've tweaked it over the years, but we've been probably on the journey for 15 plus years. And we figure, like, we're close to 2.5 times the amount of grass produced on an acre basis on the same land base just due to rotational grazing. There's a few other factors involved there with fail grazing some acres as well, but the majority of the benefit is due to the managed grazing.
How big are your paddocks and what type of fencing do you use?
Paddocks are, they're generally 80 acres mostly, but they can be as small as 40 to 50 and as big as 100 to 120, but 80 is kind of a ballpark. Generally, our exterior fences are barbed wire, 3 to 4 strand barbed wire, just because that's what they always were when they were open seasonal grazed. And so we've left them. They're still good. If we ever replace any exterior barbed wire, we always replace it with electric now, usually 2 strand. But any interior cross fencing, we just use a single strand of high tensile wire. And if your cattle are trained to electric fencing and you have good grounding and good energizers, one wire is more than enough. It's better than a 4-strand electric fence.
Nurbis Brothers Angus operates on a holistic approach with an emphasis on pasture rejuvenation. They use a hooves, not harrows approach to improving old pastures.
Well, it basically means using animal impact to improve the land and grass versus using iron or conventional approaches. Every time you use iron, I mean, there's the cost of the equipment. There's the cost of the upkeep and maintenance of the equipment. There's fuel. There's insurance. You know, if you're reseeding something, there's the cost of taking it out of production, tillage, possibly spraying. There's the reseeding. It all costs a lot of money. And we found over the years through higher impact, and we're not as high as some, but through high impact cattle, impact through hooves and their grazing actions can really act as a tool to rejuvenate forage stands in itself. And with that, you know, we're grazing a lot of stockpile grass too at certain times of the year in fall and spring, and a lot of that has gone to seed. And when the cattle go in there, they're trampling a large part of it too. and those seeds are getting punched into the ground, and we see a reseeding effect naturally just due to the cattle punching in the mature seeds of a stockpiled forage stand. So it's quite impressive, and, you know, machinery has its place, but you can also, you know, open your mind up a little bit and think about what other ways you can do it, and the animal is underutilized in that respect.
The cattle are currently on winter feed for about 120 days.
For our operation and what our goals are, we want to push the grazing as long as possible, and we think we can get to the 100-day mark on winter feed. It's 20 more days than what we're currently doing, and I think we can get there. We just have to manage. It's a careful, tricky balance of, you know, your land base, your cattle numbers. Right now, if we wanted to graze more, we'd have to get a little more land or fewer cows or make our current land base more productive. So it's kind of a tricky little balance there to get to that, but we'll get there.
When it comes to calving, Aaron prefers to go later.
Our due date is April 25th, so the bulk of our calves are born in the month of May. Well, basically in the first 2 weeks of May, that's when most of our calves are born. So we do a 60-day breeding season or three cycles, so we're going into June as well on the tail end on the second and third cycle. There are some producers that even push, you know, with there's a thought process that true nature or natural calving should be kind of when the wild animals, the deer, have their young, which is a little bit later than what we do. But we like to wean our calves in December, and if we calve later, we wouldn't be able to wean in December. We'd be weaning early, which we don't really like. And so, just for a variety of reasons, May seems to work quite well for us.
In addition to the cow-calf pairs, Nurbis Brothers Angus also sells bulls and replacement female breeding stock.
We've been steadily growing that business over time. So right now we're selling breeding bulls. We sell them as two-year-olds. And for the most part, we're selling to like-minded producers in a sense, mostly. Later calvers and people that are more in tune with like a maternal, more efficient type of animal. Although there are people that use our genetics to crossbreed and also for calving ease as well, because with a moderate frame and the genetics we use, they're naturally calving fairly easily. We're also selling replacement heifers, which is kind of something that's grown a lot in the last few years. And we're marketing, depends on the year, but 80 to 100 replacement females off the cow at weaning. So they're just calves, but we sell them as breeding females, and the people that buy from us have intentions of taking them and making them into mother cows.
Aaron Nurbis is with Nurbis Brothers Angus at Shellmouth, Manitoba, not far from the Saskatchewan border. Aaron is very active on Twitter. You can check him out at Nurbis Brothers Angus. That's at Nurbis, N-E-R-B-A-S, Brothers, B-R-O-S, Angus. And that's all one word, at Nurbis Brothers Angus.